Hey listeners, if you've been listening to our show, chances are you've heard the wonderful contributions of our favorite Tolkien scholar, Marilyn R. Pukila. Marilyn just launched her own podcast on our network called Rings and Rituals.
Join me and Dr. Sarah Brown on our journey through the Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power, through the lens of ritual. Episodes drop every other Wednesday on the Rings and Rituals feed, linked in the show notes. See you there.
Welcome to the Ted Lasso Podcast, where the Lorehound's your guides to a Hallmark Christmas movie. I'm John.
And I'm David, and this is our coverage of Apple TV's original series, Ted Lasso.
In this podcast, we'll be discussing our general thoughts about this episode before having a light discussion of Season 3, Episode 2, I Don't Want to Go to Chelsea. Be sure to stick around at the end of the podcast for programming notes about our podcasting schedule for the rest of March.
Quick housekeeping: for early access to ad-free episodes and exclusive content, visit patreon.com/thelorehounds.
Send us feedback at thelorehounds.com/contact or lorehounds@thelorehounds.com or head to our Discord server linked in the show notes.
And if you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
As a reminder, we're doing coverage of Ted Lasso slightly differently from our normal process. Rather than a scene-by-scene breakdown, we're going to pick three elements each from the episode to discuss. And we're going to rely on you, our teammates for this season, to write in and send us voicemails about what you're enjoying. So, David.
Yes, sir.
Episode 2. How you feeling?
Much, much better. I was very happy to be back in the to be back with AFC Richmond and to be with all of our friends, but something in the production values of episode 1, I don't know what was wrong, but stuff was off.
Okay.
And I was a little bit nervous. That made me a little bit nervous. I was like, oh, what's going on? I hope this isn't going to, you know, carry over into multiple episodes. And this episode was right back where I needed it to be. They were on point with everything. It was a funny script. The timing, the editing, all of it was just, the show was firing on all cylinders. So I felt really glad. I was watching it with my earphones on my Roku, and my spouse was in the other room, and she's like, why are you laughing? Like, this has happened, I know, before. I've relayed this story before. But I was busting up the entire episode, and she goes, well, obviously it was a good episode. You were laughing the whole night. And I was like, yeah, it was really good. So she's excited to watch it. I think we're going to watch it tomorrow night. But yeah, it was a banger episode.
Really great episode, yeah.
What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, everything was much better this episode. I still liked last episode, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, Danny Rojas was firing on all cylinders this episode. So, I was super happy about it. I mean, I almost actually forgave them for breaking up Roy and Keeley for the delightful awkwardness this episode.
Right.
And I know they're going to get them back together. If they don't, then I will be mad, but I think they're going to get them back together. I kind of like how they're pushing them back together with everybody going, why, Roy? Aww. You're an idiot.
Right. Ah! Coach Beard was hilarious.
Yeah. His scream. Oh, yes. Man. What a great recurring bit. Okay. Yeah. Are we ready for a synopsis?
Yes. Please deliver the synopsis.
All right. Here we go. The team courts the famous football player Zava while he fields offers from Chelsea and West Ham. Keeley struggles with her joyless staff and strict CFO before leading a video shoot about a goat transforming into a lion. She meets an old friend and hires her for a position she's unqualified for, leading to a confrontation with the CFO. Trent Crim decides to tag along with Richmond for the season and write a book. He is resisted by Roy Kent, who eventually decides to, quote, order off the vegan menu and squash their beef. Roy struggles with the reaction to his breakup and with his career regrets. The team ties in their first match back in the Premier League against Chelsea, then wins the bid for Zava thanks to Rebecca's verbal assault on him at the urinal.
That's good stuff.
All good stuff. I think we need to go into our top three moments if we're going to dive into this.
Right. Yep.
What's your first one, David?
The locker room scene, the whole thing. It was just a brilliant little piece of comedy that kept rolling on and kept giving gifts.
Now, we gotta be clear here, because there's two locker room scenes, and we had a bit of a miscommunication before over who was gonna get to talk about which one.
Right. I'm talking about the first one, when they're talking about Zava writing a book about Trent Crim.
Oh, shit. See, I thought you were talking about a different... Oh, man. All right, hold on. You do that.
Do we have the same number ones?
I'm going to pick a different one, okay?
Okay. All right. But it was so good.
It was.
It was so great. It was so hilarious. And it delivered on so many different aspects of the show, because it touches on Keely and Roy. It touches on Trent Crim. It touches on... the whole breakup thing and the relation, you know, and Ted and Coach Beard, like, it was just
right
multi-leveled. And when Danny has to say, I mean, fuck off, Trent Crim, like, that was just the cherry on top. Absolute brilliant. And I think that's something that I'm really grateful for the show. You know, we've been covering a lot of heavy shows, The Last of Us, Mandalorian, for as fun of a Saturday morning cartoon show. You know, it's still got some heavy content, and, you know, it's, you know, lasers and force users and this. And to have a straight comedy bit where they're doing the whole who's on first scenario, and to have that just pay off and keep paying off, I just really appreciated it. It was the kind of humor and levity that I really... I didn't realize I was so thirsty for it.
Right.
And they just delivered it flawlessly.
This was a great ensemble moment. Mm-hmm. I love the 11-11 joke. So funny. Mm-hmm. I just wished for that 30 seconds ago.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I was going to say, Danny actually, you know, he got his wish come true.
He did. He did. I guess 11-11 works. You heard it here, folks.
Right.
You know what else is true, David?
What is true?
As of this moment, based on our raw recording, we have now hit 100 hours of content.
Are you serious?
I am serious. I paid attention to our spreadsheet before we recorded so that I could make the announcement as we hit 100 hours.
Wow. That's mind-blowing. How long have we been at this? It doesn't seem like 100 hours ago. It seems like so much more. But, like, that's a serious milestone. Hey, congratulations. Well, you know, cheers.
And also clink, with clink. You.
Yes. that's fabulous. Do you have a song to celebrate?
I don't, but maybe on second breakfast.
All right. That'll be fun. All right. What's your number one moment from the episode?
Well, now I had to scramble to come up with another one.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
I'm going to say, and this wouldn't be the one I would put first, but I'm going to just leave this order going. The video shoot was really great. I mean, the whole goat transforming into a lion, really funny. I love this idea of, do you know what they were advertising?
Some sort of energy drink?
No, I think it was actually a coffee liqueur.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that the goat cannot drink.
Right. And just, what did this have to do with it? It's just so funny to me. This whole thing of Keely really trying to, part of it is, you know, the interaction she had before this, where she goes, oh, but we want to make it good, right? She goes, I guess, you know?
Right,
I
mean, right.
It's so true when you see these suits come in, mm-hmm. and they say, all right, well, I'm going to make the numbers work. But the numbers don't work unless the product is good, right?
It's good.
Mean,
mm-hmm.
if we just said, okay, well, we want to make our Patreon numbers go up, and to do that, we're going to put out a podcast every day, and it's going to be 10 minutes long, and it's going to be really shallow. Would that really work? I don't think so. So you have to focus on the content first. You have to focus on the product first if you want it to succeed. And that's what this CFO doesn't get. And Keely is very frustrated by that, and you could tell. And so when she goes there, it's kind of interesting to see what kind of product she's got, right? I mean, this is a wild shoot. I could not tell you what this was for unless they told me.
Yeah, right. With the disco, I was like, oh, they're at a disco. And then they're like, there's a goat in the disco. Like, what the hell is going on?
Right. Very funny.
I really liked Shandy's introduction as well.
Yeah.
Because she delivered this very technical solution to, hey, you know, snap your fingers and get 100 more extras in here. And I did feel like she's competent, regardless of her sort of party girl attitude and ultimately, you know, being hired by Keely at the firm. It seems like she's got some competencies and is actually a serious person inside of the bubbly exterior.
Well, the question is, was that a fluke or does she actually have that skill? Is that just something she saw once and she's suggesting it? Because I thought so too at first, that she was competent. Uh-huh. But then that text about the mimosas towards the end, that makes you go, I don't know.
Yeah, she delivered it so competently, though. Like, she really sold me on it. I was like, that's right.
But that's the point, though, right? Is, was she fooling us and Keeley, right, into thinking, based on this one idea, yeah, I could do this job.
Right. Well, we have yet to see, right? We're definitely going to have to see where she goes with it.
Right. I think that what we're going to see, I think what they're leading to is, Keeley's going to have to realize... This whole thing is going to be a journey for her to realize that the CFO has value, and for the CFO to realize that she has value. And in the process, they're going to have to agree to fire Shandy. I really do think so. I really do think that's where we're ending up here.
Right. It's not going to work out with her. And yeah, she's going to have to like learn an important life lesson of being a boss.
Right.
Yeah, could be. That could be.
What's your number two, David?
Trent Crim. Okay. The whole Trent Crimness of it all. Yeah. I was really worried when we didn't see him in the press briefings in episode one. And yeah, you know, he did leave the Independent at the end of season two, I think. Right. So that makes sense. But I forgot that. And so I was like, where's Trent Crim? Where's Trent Crim? I was really nervous. And then, I don't know if you saw this, but, some of the cast members were at the White House the other day to talk with, President Biden about mental health initiatives. And then they went in for a press briefing and spoke, Jason Sudeikis spoke a little bit, you know, to the White House press corps. And the actor who plays Trent Crim was in the press body and asked a question as Trent Crim.
Oh, that's funny.
Fake journalist. Yeah, it was very cute. It was a setup, you know, it was a whole little bit that they did. But when I heard that he was there, I was like, oh, okay, whew, you know, they wouldn't have had him in that little set piece if he wasn't going to be on the show. And then to bring him in, just in the very opening sequence of this episode, I was like, yes, I was very happy for that. And that whole like, it's up to you, Gaffer. You know, do you want to, you know, give the okay for this book? And they're all doing the no signal, like cutting them off. And then to just have Trent doing the book writing as a plot device to weave more of the narration of this season through, and then to create this backstop for some of the action, because here we have now eyes and ears always listening and people reacting, oh, don't print that. Oh, like, oh, but you can print that about the Skittles. That's going to be, I think, a consistent bit, and people either being outwardly out and proud about something, you know, and just going, fine, Trent, you know, like, publish this. I don't care what you say. Or people trying to hide and keep the truth from Trent is going to be an interesting plot driver throughout the entire season.
I think that the main point of this season so far has been be true to thyself.
Right.
It has been let people be themselves and play to their own strength. We saw that with Ted combating Nate with water instead of fire in episode one. And I'll talk Keeley. About later, but I think, yeah, Keeley is being herself, but also I think Rebecca even is using her own strength instead of trying to mimic Rupert.
Right.
So I think that we're going to see Trent be himself. We're going to see Rory kind of find himself here and sort of confront why he is so hesitant to return to his relationship with Keeley, right?
Yeah, and that gets into some of my number three, so let's not go too far down there just yet.
There we go.
One more addition on Trent Crim. You know, he's always been a one-dimensional character in this, right? Trent Crim, Independent, right? You know, he's been this foil for the whole, why is Ted here? Why is an American coaching English football in the Premier League? And if we're going to get a full-blown three-dimensional Trent Crim, I'm pretty excited for that too. because I think there's an interesting story to tell there of the story writer. And I like the actor. I like the portrayal. I like the tone. I like his tone of voice and his, like, you know, sly little smiles. And so I think as an addition to a full-blown character, I'm really excited for it and here for it.
Yeah, I don't know if I fully agree with him not being a three-dimensional character before this, because I think that even early on, you had him, you know, spending the day with Ted and then realizing, I'm going to write a positive article about this guy. And then later having more journalistic integrity than than he used to. And, you know,
ultimately, being his demise.
Right. I really do think that he has actually shown a decent amount of character development for a side character so far.
That's true. That's a good point. I hadn't considered that. All right, you're number two, sir.
Higgins becoming the master of whispers for Richmond. That was a pretty good impression of his noise.
Thank you.
Yeah, he has the lip reading masseuse. He's got the karate teachers. He's got this whole network of spies.
Right. And he was able to deliver information rather quickly during the Chelsea match, right? He came back right away with fresh intel.
I'm telling you, Varys has competition for Spy Master.
Hey, I didn't think about this, but I guess with Nate not being there anymore, the Diamond Dogs no longer exist.
No, the Diamond Dogs have to continue.
Yeah, I don't know, because it was Nate, right? Coach Beard, Ted, and Higgins, and Nate's gone.
And Roy joined by the end, though, remember?
Right, that's true.
I think they have enough. I think there's enough dogs in the pack.
Okay. Maybe Trent could join the Diamond Dogs.
Oh, I like where you're going.
That would be fun. All right, anything more on Higgins?
No, I really just thought it was more funny than anything.
Yeah, it's cute. All right, my number three is the entire Roy Kent arc.
Okay.
We all love his gruffness. We all love his, you know, stuff. And this episode was actually kind of a very Roy-centric episode in a lot of ways, because we have the whole thing with the breakup, but then we have a return with Jamie and Roy and their conflict. And of course, Jamie's an entirely different character now, who's trying to be empathetic and supportive, and Roy just can't deal with it.
I know.
We have Roy and Trent and their conflict. And then we have Roy and Chelsea. And the one thing that actually slid right by was Roy and Zava, right? Roy was like, oh, yeah, he'll help us win games.
Yeah.
You know, that where I thought, oh, boy, that's going to be a major point of conflict because there's going to be some problem. He's going to think he's a prat, whatever. But no, Roy seemed pretty good with the idea of getting Zava. But everything else was really moving and really interesting in this very gruff character that we've definitely all come to love. The whole aspect of Ted calling Roy to account. He's like, dude, you feel me here? Like, you're about to crash something that is bigger than just your beef with Trent. And you got to get right with that. And you got to get right with Trent right now. We don't have time for this. We're back in the Premier Leagues. And if you're carrying on this petty little beef, it's not going to work. And Troy and Roy, to his credit, saw the wisdom of that and took that on. And then, like you said, this authenticity, this like be true to thine self arc that's happening in the storylines, when he tells Trent the truth about why he's angry with him, that was a real reckoning.
Right.
And that was a time for them to both get right with each other about their pasts and about their present. And that was really moving, and it was really well written and really well delivered.
Yeah. Roy doesn't go in for a hug, right? He he says, hey, oi, you were an asshole to me. And Trent goes, yeah, I was, and I'm sorry. And then he goes, yeah. And then he just tells him, yeah, sorry. All right, it's done. It's done.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So something, you know, I just want to bring up Jamie with Roy.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, let's contrast Jamie returning to the team and the team's reaction to that with learning about Zava coming to the team. Both are known to be assholes. But right. Look how much the team has grown since Jamie coming back, where now they have an asshole coming to the team and they're like, all right, we can work with this.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I think
that's
a really
good point.
Big moment for the team. But also, can I just point out here, Jamie's hair is his picture of Dorian Gray, where as he becomes a nicer person, his hair gets more douchey.
Yes, it's very strange haircut, this one.
He just, I just don't understand what they're doing with it.
That was the great scene too in the kit room there with William.
Yeah.
And he goes to hug him and Roy's just like,
yeah.
And it's a very different Jamie. It's a radically different Jamie. And right. And Roy was right to suspect him of like, oh, well, you're just trying to get, you know, you're just trying to see if you can get an angle back on Keeley. And Jamie's like, no, I'm being serious in my empathy here. And right. And Roy just doesn't know how to do that. And that goes back to his, he's not a guy who has fun or knows how to have fun. And that ending sequence there where he talks about his time at Chelsea and leaving Chelsea, again, it was really moving and really insightful into who he is and who he's becoming.
Yeah, great arc here.
What's your number three?
My number three is Rebecca. I mentioned this before, but Rebecca using her own strengths to win over Zava instead of mimicking Rupert, because she goes on this long spiel about how Rupert's just so charming. He made me feel special, which, by the way, was an amazing monologue by Hannah.
It was.
And I mean, stellar, world class. But this whole idea, and it was very moving, right? It was very moving to listen to, you know, how he wooed her and how he's going to, you know, he made me feel like that, and points to him, you know, beaming.
Right.
And she thinks to herself, well, I can't do that. But what I can do is tell someone to cut the shit. And scare them with my power. Remember her whole thing where she raised her arms and made herself big and goes like last season?
That's right.
That's what she's doing here, right? Is she's being the intimidating person, and that's her strength. And even earlier in the episode, we see a contrast with the previous episode. The previous episode, she gets called out for, you know, I don't wanna destroy him, I just wanna beat him. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's Keeley who says, you know, is there really a difference? And I think this episode, when Trent goes, so you're telling me that you just want him to keep him away from your ex-husband? And she goes, yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
She's very true to herself. And I think that what this show is telling us is when you stop denying who you are, when you stop denying what problems you have, you can start to actually deal with those issues and recognize your faults and your strengths.
I mean, to walk in on Zava, right, in that moment and really lay out the case, you'll never, I mean, it's trickery. She's trying to woo him, but she's also making a really powerful point, and very emphatically and very impassioned, like, you'll never know if you don't come and play with us, whether, you know, that you're good of a player. And for her to have done that in season one or season two, no way.
Right.
Right. Like, it's a real evolution of the character. And I think that's something that I'm enjoying, is seeing these characters having evolved over the two seasons, so that we're not just doing the same bits and playing the same gambits and rehashing the same relationships. So yeah, seeing Rebecca actualized is kind of cool.
Do you know what made me laugh the most, though?
What?
Was when she's yelling at him at the urinal. Uh-huh. And he stops peeing when she stops talking and then resumes when she starts again. Did you notice that?
Oh, just peripherally. I didn't.
It was so funny to me.
Yeah.
Also, that was the longest pee of all time.
Yeah, that dude's. Yeah, for a small guy like that, that was a huge pee. And the asparagus comment, that was just weird. That was just a little bit bizarre.
What, you're not bothered by asparagus pee?
No, I'm not bothered by it, but I'm like, did he eat that much asparagus? Who eats that asparagus on that? I don't know.
You have one stalk and it really gets you. I mean, I don't like smelling my own asparagus pee. All right, enough urine talk.
Well, I was going to say, you know, what's worse than asparagus pee is lamb poop, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, good call. We had a lot of odor discussion in this episode.
Yes, we do. It's very strange. New character watch. So we've got Shandy, client relations coordinator. And we have Zava. And interestingly, I think Zava is being written in as a proxy for a real footballer, by the name of Zlatan. And he's a Swedish player, and I'm not sure who he's playing for right now, but he is apparently a very similar character to Zava, where he's, you know, played for a number of different clubs, always wreaks havoc, but like he's too good for people to not take on. Apparently, when he went to the LA Galaxy, I believe is the football club that's in LA, LeBron James sent him an autographed shirt, and then Zoltan signed it and sent it back to him.
Oh my God. Wow.
I don't know how apocryphal that story is. I heard it on the internet. So if you...
No, that's canon now.
Yeah. Well, I was just hoping somebody could write in and validate that for us.
I don't want you to validate it. I just want to believe it.
It's just too good. Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of feedback, definitely write in and let us know what you're thinking about the season. This episode was like 42 minutes, 47 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I had a really hard time just at picking three things and thinking about what I'm going to talk about. So what we would love is for you guys to send us a voicemail or send us some feedback. Tell us what you thought was funny, what arcs you're enjoying, or little pickups that we might have missed. Because the show is just, I think, too dense and rich for us to be able to cover it in the normal depth that we normally would. So, to that end, Tom sent us an email. He says, "Hey guys, loving the coverage, had some thoughts about this week's episode in reference to number one. My girlfriend pointed out that Jamie's hair gets douchier with John." This is the same point. "That his hair gets douchier with each season, and I feel like it's a great way of showing his true self is still there, but he's learning, at least emotionally." Yeah, there you go.
It's the picture of Dorian Gray, I'm telling you.
I love it. He goes on, number two, "My prediction is Nate gets sacked halfway through the season from West Ham. Rupert doesn't seem one to let something develop like chemistry, see his relationships. On top of that, the Premier League is known for being cutthroat with managers of struggling teams. I feel like that would be an interesting turn for Nate's character and maybe lead to him dealing with his self-hatred. My only hope, though, is that they don't immediately Jamie him back onto the team should that happen. No matter what, though, I'm happy to see them at least setting up plans to address some of the characters' biggest lingering issues this season. Thanks, Tom." Thank you, Tom. Please be sure to write in for our next episode and keep the feedback coming. John, thoughts on Nate getting sacked halfway through the season?
I think it's very plausible. But
I think it's a really good theory.
I agree with you entirely, Tom. I don't want him to come back at least right away, and probably not at all, because I think that something that the show is trying to teach us and Ted is you can't save everyone, right? Mm-hmm. You have to let people figure out their own lives at some point. You have to let people, you know,
fall,
you know, yeah, like have consequences to their actions. And Ted cannot save Nate from himself. Nate has made the decision to really be cruel to everyone around him. And it's up to him to rebuild those bridges. It's not up to Ted.
Right. Yeah. And it's for up to Nate to get right with his own self-loathing. He's not going to be able to repair any of those relationships until he can get right with himself and stop hating himself.
Exactly.
All right, John, I think that's it for the episode. Anything else that you want to throw in, or should we get on to shouting out our Patreon patrons?
I would love to just hear all about our lovely patrons.
Okay. All right, John, as you know, we like to give a special shout out to our Lore Master patrons. They do a lot to help us every month, and we like to thank them by giving them a quick shout out. So, Samartian, Cyrus, Mark H., Michael G., Michelle E., David W., Brian P., Nick W., SC, Peter OH, Bettina W., Adam S., Nancy M., Lavinia T., Dork of the Ninjas, Doove71, who just upgraded their account, and Brian8063, who's our newest lore master. Thank you, all of you, very much. And thank you to all our patrons. It really means a lot to us to have your support. John, programming notes for the remainder of March. It has been a crazy month. Like you said, we just broke through our cap of 100 hours of content, and we're not done with the month.
Absolutely. We've got the Lorehounds Play The Last of Us Part 1 coming. We're just wrapping up the Last of Us, the series with our season wrap-up. We've got The Mandalorian Season 3 every week. And we've got Ted Lasso happening every week. Also, make sure you check out the Earthsea Cycle. We just started that coverage of that book series with Marilyn Arpukila. Also, next week, we have Silmarillion stories coming out. So stay tuned for that if you're on the Tolkien journey with us.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for sticking around and listening to us. Please drop us a note, lorehounds@thelorehounds.com. And we'll be back with Ted Lasso next week.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening. Hey, listeners, if you've been listening to our show, chances are you've heard the wonderful contributions of our favorite Tolkien scholar, Marilyn Arpukila. Marilyn just launched her own podcast on our network called Rings and Rituals.
Join me and Dr. Sara Brown on our journey through the Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power, through the lens of ritual. Episodes drop every other Wednesday on the Rings and Rituals feed, linked in the show notes. See you there.